The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, we are live today, and we have a very special program, one that kind of fits the pattern for all of us. You know, how do we stay strong? How do we keep our immune system where it needs to be? And it's something that we deal with on a day-to-day basis at the Rozelle Center for Healing. We try to get people's immunological systems to optimize themselves with, and regardless of what their pain patterns are, because, you know, at the end of the day, you really don't get sick, you don't hurt, you're not in pain, you don't have all kinds of things bugging you, so to speak, if your immune response is as strong as it should be. So we're going to walk down the weeds on this thing, and we're going to give you tools to be able to strengthen the system. But who better than Dr. Stephanie Pina, our doctor of naturopathic medicine, who will be your host, your presenter this coming Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing, and is our guest. You realize when you come into our office, it is a very safe environment, from HEPA filters and ionization filters, and we scrub down, and you know, we make sure that you're comfortable in how and where you sit, and you will be very comfortable. But this Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, we're just off the National Capital Beltway, literally about a half of a mile. You'll find it's easy to find. All you have to do is call the office at 703-698-7117, or simply go online to register at rozellecare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E.com. And register. Just click the button, and we will confirm a seat for you, and we'll see you this Wednesday evening. Dr. Stephanie, welcome again. You know, you are the pro on this program. You know, not only are you an amazing source of data and information, but you know how to run this thing because you step in for me when I'm not here.
Yeah, but it's. I feel like we have this topic and it's over and over and over again, but, you know, we try to throw new information in and stay updated, and then the patients come in with more and more questions, and so why not keep repeating it and change it up a little bit, spice it up a little bit, so yeah.
Well, if you look at it from different positions, you know, in our office, we look at the structural, chemical, emotional platform as the triggering mechanism for so much that is bugging us. And, you know, disease processes are simply diagnostics that doctors give to symptom presentations. That's all it is. I got a headache. I have a fever. I have this. I have that. Oh, you must have this. And then now they've gone to the sophistication of giving everything an alphabet soup. You know, this is what you have. Well, that's not what we want to deal with. I don't want to deal with the symptoms. I want to deal with the why and how do we, you know, prevent things from occurring to begin with. So, you know, let me ask you this question. We spoke about it just before the program started. Why do some people apparently can be exposed to anything, whether it's COVID or it's any other infectious type of disease, and they're cool? There's no problem. They seem to just keep on going on and nothing ever happens. And the same thing with, you know, we know people that drink a quart of whiskey a day and smoke a pack of cigarettes and they live to 100 and they die in their sleep. And, you know, the rest of us don't make it like that. What seems to be the differential? Why are some people so strong and others seem to get everything or break down and have all kinds of problems?
That's a great question. And really, when you think about research out there that's been talking about you know, different types of groups of cultures that have been living over to their hundreds and everything, like the blue zones or the green zones, you know, they're trying to figure out what's that one thing that makes these people healthy to continue. And the amazing thing, there's not just one thing. But I do think what it comes down to is that people who have some kind of basic health system and their bodies are able to function, they're taking care of themselves on a daily basis, are the ones that are able to essentially get through some of the stuff that passes through, because we're always surrounded by bacteria and viruses and mold, and you know, the foods that we bring in are not always clean. So those are always going to be there, but their digestive tract, their immune system, their mental mind-body connection, all of that has a chance to kind of be somewhat in balance enough that they don't have these big responses. Or if they do, which we do want people to have that common cold and flu every now to kind of recharge the immune system. But when they do, they recover very quickly. So there is something that's underlying that it may be different for one person or another, but essentially what we want to try to do is optimize that and create a balance so your immune system can respond when it wants to respond and needs to respond, but then it also knows how to shut off and not create chronic issues and chronic inflammation and start attacking other parts of the body too.
You know, the interesting thing is there's some people who, you know, at the first sign of a sniffle, or, you know, they're tired or they don't feel good or they got a little scratchy throat, they throw up the panic button. You know, the flag goes up and said, oh my God, what can I do to suppress the symptom? That's not necessarily a very good thing to do. It actually can cause things to become worse, correct?
Correct. But the positive side of that, the silver lining of the person who panics at the first symptom is they know something's not right. So you got to give them that benefit. They say, something's not right with me. I feel wrong. It's just, how do they approach it? How do they treat it? What do they do next, the next step? I mean, we love it when we have patients that come in that says, like, I don't feel right as of this morning. Like, what can we do right now? Because they're aware that something's just off in them. And then they give themselves their time and the space to actually heal instead of trying to say, well, I'm just going to push through everything and I'm going to keep going to work. And I mean, if there's anything that we've been looking at for the last couple of weeks and years is that when people started to get that sniffle or a cough or the cold or the sneeze and they questioned what they might or might not have, at least they decided to stay home now. Before, we were just gung-ho, let's go into the office, we'll wake her through it, and then all of a sudden everybody else in the office is sick as well too.
Yeah.
So the person that's really watching their health is going to be the person in the office who doesn't have the sneezes and everybody else around them is the one that's sick.
That's, you know, that's really a good point. And when you realize that there's little things that are sitting there. I had a patient that called in the other day and said, you know, I'm really feeling good, and but I'm tired, and I think I lost my taste. Do I have COVID? I said, yeah, probably, maybe. And I said, you know, if you're wearing N95 and come in the back door, I said, I'll test you and make sure that you're okay. And he said, yeah, that's what I thought. I really might have this thing. I said, yeah, give yourself 5 days. If you get anything more than that, give me a call. And we go, but he called me about the next day. He says, it's gone. Am I still contagious? I said, stay home for the next 3-4 days. I said, you know, the rules are that if you do test positive, I said, your symptoms tell me that it's problematic and possible. I said, but, you know, just start counting it from the day you called me, give yourself 5 days. And if you still stay strong with no symptom process, you're good to go. But we don't understand what that really means. Let's talk about immunological responses relative to, we'll talk about viral patterns, okay? Whether it's this COVID that's out there or the flu or a head cold or anything else. The problem is that we really can't differentiate. And with the Omicron, with the exception of a very small amount of people, it's really a uncomfortable cold for a day or two with a little bit of fever, sore throats, body ache, fatigue. That can hit so many different places, right? So let's talk about how we stay strong in any viral condition so our body, one, fights it if it does show up in a symptom process, but preventing it. What can we do to make sure that we're solid?
Well, what's interesting, I think, with what's going on right now, and to answer the question, is we have to think about everything that's going around. Like right now, we have hot temperatures, cold temperatures. We've got snow. We've got rain. You know, here in Virginia, you never know what you're going to get when you walk outside the door. So, you know, if you're not prepared to go out in the cold, you're putting yourself more at risk for your immune system to kind of kick back in. So we have to deal with what's outside. You know, we go into the spring, and all of a sudden now it's allergy patterns. So, or it's mold in the summertime. So we have to worry about what's going on with our outside environment and make sure we're okay. The other thing we have to do is what's going in when we're eating foods. You know, the digestive tract is another part of our immune system that we kind of overlook until we have an upset stomach or until we have some kind of digestive issue that needs to be treated.
Constipation or diarrhea and so forth that everybody ignores.
Exactly. Well, both of those can be ways of kind of trying to hold in good nutrients or eliminate the bad stuff, right?
That's right.
So we want it to eliminate the bad stuff. We just don't need to hold as much as some people do. But But when we look at this, what tends to happen is we have to think about what's going in, what we're exposed to. And in Chinese medicine, you know, they used to have these five or six outside factors. And then they throw the emotional factor of the body. How are the emotions affecting our disease process? It was its own pathogen. In fact, diet and everything was a different set of the. But outside, you know, if it was hot or cold, what was our body temperature? Are we overrun or overworked? You know, these are not things that we normally think about because we get used to doing things on our day-to-day process. And so we have to take that time for ourselves. So that staying home and hopefully not trying to do stuff at home all the time too is a way to kind of help and heal. And so you can get the rest, you can get the sleep that's so important for your immune system and give yourself a break and give yourself the time to heal. Because most people say, I feel better today. I'm going to go out and run and do all this stuff. And I'm going, too soon. So we want to come up with ways to help strengthen the body through Chinese medicine, herbal medicine, dietary medicine, the different modalities that we offer that allow the body to conserve energy and allow that to go towards healing or the continuation of healing and then start to go, okay, now I feel better. I can go out there and do things in the world again.
So I got an interesting question for you. And the patient asked me this about a week and a half ago, and I opened the paradigm for them a little bit. Who gets potentially more symptom presentation? And I'll use the word sicker, which is not something I'd like to use, but somebody who has exposed themselves slowly, getting outside, you know, seeing people and so forth, from the time we were a little kid all the way through, or somebody who's isolated inside, never, you know, masks up, doesn't expose themselves, and all of a sudden goes out in the middle of whatever happens to be there, might be a head cold or some other kind of bug or this stupid thing that's out there. Which one is potentially the one that's going to succumb?
Oh, good. I thought you were going to ask between men and women, like who's going to get sicker first. So
not yet. That's the next
one.
Oh,
good.
We'll talk about that later.
That's what I'm going to create the debate right now. I would potentially say that the person that's going to go out there and has those little exposures over time, we see this with other conditions, especially like with allergies, right? If they have small exposures, and this is the way like allergy shots work, right? Their body is able to take it in a little bit and deal with it and kind of go, okay, I know how to combat this. And then they can take in a little bit more and combat this. It doesn't mean you throw out all other precautions and go run out. But I mean, this is what people used to do with chickenpox, right? It was chickenpox parties. They would, one kid on the block had chickenpox. Everybody brought that their kids over to the house and they just let it go through and then they're all set. Well, that's a viral infection.
Sure. What they forgot, though, that chickenpox was contagious before they broke out. Once they broke out, they weren't contagious anymore.
Well, that means someone at the party probably also already had it. So it just helped spread it a little bit faster. But
that's right.
But essentially, the same thing goes. If you have a little bit of an exposure over time, your body can deal with it. It can assess it. But when all of a sudden you get hit really hard because you haven't had any exposure, your immune system seeing this for the first time, and it's a really big deal now.
I'm going to have you hold that thought. We're coming up to a break, and I want to continue with right on that subject. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. My guest today, Dr. Stephanie Pina. We're talking about your immune system and how to protect it. We'll be right back after some important messages. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rizzo. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. We have a really interesting, appropriate, and timely program. And, you know, my guest today is one that knows this area of application in health probably better than anybody else. Dr. Stephanie Pina, who you know as my co-host and just jumps in for me on a pretty regular basis. We're talking about what happens with your immunological system and how it protects you, how it doesn't protect you. But more importantly, you know, from other perspectives, Chinese medicine and the things that we do on a regular basis. Anyway, welcome back, Dr. Stephanie. This is, you know, let's get back into a little bit what we were talking about before we had a break for our sponsors. The differentiations in why some people seem to be impervious to everything and some people seem to succumb to, you know, walking 20 feet away from somebody fully masked and they still get something. That's a conundrum for so many people. Why? You know, why does that happen? Why can I walk, for example? You know, I got a little bit of, you know, a fever and a sore throat and fatigue pattern over the holidays. And, you know, I wasn't in the office. I hadn't been there for quite a while. And, you know, I said, Dad, do I have this stupid thing? You know, did it come and bite me? And I said, well, you know, I'm fine. You know, so I tested and, you know, I was good to come back into the office and, you know, that sort of thing. But my immune system is so strong and always has been. Why are there people that don't seem to be able as stalwart? We just had a patient that passed away. This young man in his 40s, late 40s, with COVID, but he had some other comorbidities. But there's another piece of that. The hospitals refused to treat him properly and early enough, but that's a whole different story. But what's going on here?
Well, it's interesting because when I look at it from a Chinese medicine perspective, you know, 3,000 years ago, they didn't have the applications we have now. They didn't have x-rays and labs, and they had to do it all by observations. And so they would kind of see how the person is responding. And you can tell by looking at the tongue, feel a pulse, even just by the person, the mannerism that the person has, you know, if they're feeling well, and you ask them questions every time they come in, how are you feeling? What's going on? Those can be better indicators than a lab test sometimes. However, they can be better indicators for people who are also too sick to be sick. They're the ones that never have a response. And so what happens is their immune system is kind of building everything up. So I get really interested in the people who say, I've never been sick for 30 years. Nothing's going to touch me. It's kind of like the people that come in and says, I can eat anything because my stomach is, you know, hard as a rock, my stomach is steel. I'm going, you know, there's probably some kind of compensation mechanism going on. And at the same time, with what we're currently dealing with, and we won't know this for a number of years, if ever, what are those pieces and those other things that are going on? Where is their body sick in other ways that they may or may not know about? Heart disease, asthma, allergies, digestive issues, even bone joint pain that causes more inflammation. Do they make them more susceptible for these people who get really, really tough to fight infections? Is it what makes things linger longer? Because like I said, the body's using up energy to fight this chronic infection instead of just dealing with the current one and moving on, kind of turning on and turning off. Now it's on automatic go. So what we need to do is be able to look at them slightly different and give someone ideas and treatments where they are in that particular situation, but we can't rule out the rest of their health at the same time. So you have to look at the immune system, but you have to look at everything else. And that's what's not being addressed when we just treat symptoms.
Dr. Stephanie, I'm going to ask you a question, but I want to remind everybody that this Wednesday evening, the 26th of the month, 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing, you're going to be doing a presentation on this subject. And, you know, if you want to know how to keep your immune system strong and really be able to fight anything that comes down the pike, this is an opportunity that if I was in your position, I wouldn't miss, because I know things that you don't know, and this woman knows things that I don't know, and she'll be able to put that together for you in a format that you really absolutely can protect yourself. So here's the situation, Dr. Stephanie. You know, when somebody has a symptom-free life, they really don't express anything. That really often can't correlate to them being well, because their body's ability to express itself optimally has really been retarded. Am I on the right direction with you with this?
Absolutely. I agree. I concur. Because when you think about it, you want to be able to turn on that immune system when you need to, but then dial it back as well too. So like I said, that common cold, that common flu, even a little bit of a stomach bug, as nasty as it can be in those very few days that you have to go through with it, it still tells you that something's happening. Your body's able to process it. I mean, we go back and forth with, you know, the benefit of a fever. Is a fever good or bad? A fever is a normal process. It's turning up the heat inside the body to help get rid of whatever has just invaded it. So when we suppress it because we don't want it to be too high or it's going on too long, we kind of killing off our own body's ability to help it heal itself as well too. So there's pros and cons and things we can do. And the great thing is that sometimes it has to do with just doing stress management to make sure that the body can stay focused on what it needs to. And that's where things like Chinese medicine with acupuncture and herbs or looking at dietary and supplements as well too.
We're coming up to a break, and I want to remind our listeners that this Wednesday evening, you're going to be presented. They need to call and reserve a seat. Also, go to my website, drtomrozell.com. And scroll down to the bottom. We have a lot of tools there that are available to you directly from manufacturers that are sponsors of the show that can assist you and help you keep your body strong. But this is an opportunity. This Wednesday evening is one that you shouldn't miss. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. My guest, Dr. Stephanie Pina. Don't go away. We'll be right back after some very important information.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday, right? 12 noon, now that our football season is almost over, except for the playoffs. And we will continue at 12 o'clock throughout all of next year without having to be moved. Why? Because the Washington football team is going to our AM sister channel at 6:30 AM and join the rest of the sports programming that's there. So Dr. Tom Rozelle Live will be at 12. Tell your friends, make sure that they know that we're in the right position, bringing them the most up-to-date data that we can possibly do on an ongoing basis. A program that we're doing today, or the program that we're doing today, is one that should concern all of us. And it has to do with our immunological responses. How do we protect ourselves from anything? How do some people seem to be resistant to anything that comes down the line? Doesn't make any difference what it is, and they live well, they live long, and so forth. Some people are faking it. I use that that word that way, in that they don't seem to have symptoms, but they're really not well. They're not doing a good job at keeping their health index, their morbidity at a high, at a low enough level where, you know, they're really enjoying it. They're putting it off. There's a fakeness that is about that, but there truly are. There's so many people that really haven't had sickness, and they've been able to fight through it. Fortunately, I'm one of them. I spend years not having any problems whatsoever. I don't take any medications. I don't have any. And, you know, I'm in that ugliness, that seventh decade. Yeah, don't throw the stones at me, but we're there. But Dr. Stephanie, this Wednesday evening, you're going to go through this. But let's talk a little bit more about, you know, why the susceptibility? What happens to us? Why do we, you know, we get exposed to something, sometimes we have to do it once or twice, but then we get nailed. We get nailed hard. Why is that immune system so tenuous and it's on a teeter-totter, so to speak? What happens?
Well, I think you kind of brought it up right there, is the fact that we are constantly dealing with stuff all the time. And whether we have control over it, like where we are, where we live, our so-called social economic status, our current health status, as far as, you know, did we get our annual blood work done? Did we see our doctor? Did we actually go in, and or did we have to telehealth medicine it? You know, we have to deal with all these different things. And so it's tougher now with what we're currently going through to make sure you're properly being seen to help identify some of the issues that we don't think are a problem, to continue types of treatment that we need to kind of continue to make sure that we're getting both, I would say, even conventional care and looking at it from a holistic medicine care. What can we do to make sure our body is moving, that we're getting good nutrients, following up with those practitioners as well, too, dealing with stress management. We don't have the ability right now for everybody to do what we used to do. And so when that happens, it starts to put more and more stressors on our system, mentally, physiologically, biochemically. And when we don't take care of that, we can only go so long before the brake light or the engine light starts turning on. Right. And that's going to be different for every single person. And it'd be nice to say you get this symptom and that's it. And that's just not the case. We see this even with the current viral infection, like people come in with different things and then there's symptoms that are like across the board, how they experience stuff across, they're all different. So you have to treat each one of those people differently. You have to use different things at different times. So that means the person that comes in and you're working on preventative medicine and preventative health is going to be in a very different situation than someone who just acutely came down with a condition, or it's something's been lingering for a really long time. Yeah. So putting everybody in the nutshell, even with some of the best supplements and stuff we have out there that we've suggested, may not work for them at different sections. So you have to be able to identify them. And unfortunately, when people are either afraid to come in to say the office, or they're afraid to talk to their practitioners, or the information just isn't available to them, yeah, it makes it more difficult to actually treat the current situation than say it was, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years ago. We had to deal with different things then, but we were able to experience it a little bit different, get the help that the people needed.
You know, we talk about health optimization and also the exposure and the degradation being around a triad. We talk about the structural pieces, and when we talk about structure, we talk about anything that you can touch, put your hands on, the muscles, the bones, the ligaments, even the nervous system. And we look at injury patterns, whether they're significant or they're minor, that impact that. The next piece is anything that's outside the body, exogenous, things that we're exposed to, things that we eat we shouldn't eat, things that we need more of, we don't get enough of. And the third piece is one that I don't think a lot of people appreciate. They give lip service to it, but in this environment today, I think it's more profound than any other time, and that's the emotion. That's how your mind works. It's not the biochemistry of the brain. It's the decision-making process that we go through, because your body will walk in tandem with whatever thought you say is true. So my question to you is simply this. I want to take that third side. I want to take that emotional piece. We're sitting there. We're listening to all these talking heads. They've done a wonderful job of scaring people across the board that, oh, my God, you put your nose outside, you're going to die of whatever it is, right? And so, but they've had an underlying structural piece. They've had an underlying biochemical irritation. They're not eating the things that they should be eating. And even when they try, if they're not eating purely organic and free range and so forth, they're eating foods that have been hybridized. They're being foods that have been GMO modified. And those don't play well within the human physiology. You know, the argument is, well, we can feed more people that way. Well, you're going to cause more disease processes that way as well. So we have these other two things that we may have been limping along for a period of time dealing with, but now the emotional platform comes in, right?
And absolutely.
They fall, and they fall hard. Which one do you treat first?
I think you got to treat an aversion, all of them at the same time. So that's what I love about Chinese medicine. It does it all at the same time. You can use a point. A really basic point, and it'll treat the mental, emotional, and structural all at the same time. That's why it's its own system. You know, it's set up to be its own system and address multiple things. And so that's the great thing. I don't say when we move blood flow, it's like going to the gym and walking out and going outside and getting your breath there, but you're still moving blood flow. So that's a great thing for people who can't do that. It's relaxing the body at the same time. So the stressor parts, what's interesting, and I believe it was maybe towards the beginning of 2020 when we started doing our webinars because we couldn't do our in-house lecture, there was a great lecture that I listened to about a public health director that was up, I think, in Massachusetts, and I had a slide on it, and you can watch the webinars that were recorded all through that time off the website. And he was already talking about the mental emotional effects and how it was going to affect chronic diseases and how they were using examples in the past, how they saw this. It was years after the events like 9/11, a couple of the tsunamis, Hurricane Katrina. And so it was years and years later, and they would see that chronic disease didn't get any better for those people. There was more mental, emotional strain on ages across the board. And you're seeing this now. And so there's some attention, I think, being brought to it, especially with the school kids and saying, how are they able to socialize if they are in masks?
Right.
Or
that's right.
How are they able to socialize if they can't get together with their friends and stuff as well too. So you're still seeing that particular aspect, but it's the underlying mental emotional issue. What is that child, person, adult still experiencing?
Absolutely.
And so it's going to be something that we'll be dealing with for a long time, well after COVID is gone, and becomes just a lab work to write up to see, oh, did you have an infection or not? But unfortunately, more and more people are looking for those types of treatment, and they're coming in because they feel off for whatever reason, and they just can't put their finger on it. And that's what I tend to see a lot. More people are coming in for acupuncture that are just saying, I just don't feel right. I just don't feel right. And so when I do that, we see physical things going on. But at the same time, I always say, no matter what we do as a treatment, we're going to work on your health, your mental health, your immune system, and also just making sure you're staying grounded during the whole thing. And potentially the talking heads are the part we have to kick out. Of course, not this radio show. We got to keep this talking head in.
Well, that's right. But we only give you the truth. So
exactly.
That's why I'm in trouble all the time. That's why they knock me off of YouTube, and you know, they don't like the things I'm saying, and you know, I get slapped on the hand by other, you know, sources and so forth. And they say, you have to be careful what you say. I said, have all the data in front of me. You want it? I'll send it to you. Here it is.
So the other stressors that we need to eliminate or avoid those as much as we can, because you do see things when we have big events that happen, they become huge triggers and people will physically feel it. I mean, you go into fight flight response. You're not you're not actually there at the time, but you're in that flight response. And so your survival mode is to get the heck out and do what you got to do, but you're not able to maintain that long term. And we try to. And then we're not able to keep our normal functioning and processing going like our immune system, because we have to have energy conserved to do that. So how do we do that? We try to relax. We try to avoid some of those things and kind of give our body what we need at the moment to help support it. So that way we can function better, because the stressors are probably not going to go anywhere, unfortunately, the outside stuff. But we can do it whatever we can to try to balance in the meantime.
It's like my grandson said the other day, and he said, Grandpa, he says, all of this is not going to go away, is it? I said, what are you talking about? He said, all the craziness. He's 15 years old. He's coming up 16 in about a month. And I said, unfortunately, I think that you're right on target. It's not going to go away. Because even if it was going to go away and we flipped it around and we upregulated all the emotional pieces to this, it's still going to take people quite a while to reset their vision emotionally. And what I brought that up for is that has such a huge impact on how the body reacts, because whatever you think is true and you accept as being possible and impactful and so forth, that's your decision-making process. Your body says, absolutely, that's true, and it changes its physiological expression to adapt to whatever that decision is. That's the problem. And we have to be very careful, and we have to watch ourselves and to be able to constantly – do you think there's a book that, you know, that I've, when we have our docs meeting and so forth, I think you've heard me talk about it. There's an author by the name of Robin Sharma that I really like reading and listening to his stuff. And it's called The 5 o'clock Club. And it's, you know, everybody who's successful at the highest levels possible, they always get up early, whether it's 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock every morning, regardless of what it is. And they start their day in a very interesting way. The first thing they do is they get some exercise. Doesn't have to be a lot, just gentle, right? Just a little stretching. Some people like to run. I don't. Even in the days when I was in the best shape of ever, I would do HIIT training. I'd go out and sprint. That's it. I'm done. Or doing some light weights, or doing some yoga, or doing some Tai Chi or something of that nature. Something that you like to do, 20 minutes only. And then 20 minutes either pray or meditate. Sit quietly and focus on what it is that you're trying to do and accomplish and optimize and maximize. And the third piece is learn a little something about something that you have an interest in. Just setting the stage like that every day, getting yourself into that routine, not only optimizes the ability of your achievements in life, but it optimizes your body function and physiology. Am I on track on that?
You are. I laugh because my dog makes me part of the 5 o'clock club. We have to get up and walk her every single morning. And
that's,
I get my exercise in for 20 minutes and then I get my 5 o'clock in. And then I think about what the heck I got to do afterwards. And she's set to go for the rest of the day. So pets help the immune system.
So, there you go.
And mental. But, you know, I
so
tell
the,
my
so the takeaway is that everybody needs to go out and get a dog and get the rescues, because they're the ones that really need us.
There you go. You know, I mean, mine's perfectly, it's my audience right now for this radio show. And if you see the audio of this, if we put it up there, you might see her jumping in and out. So, but one of the things is we do have to find something to kind of balance out the negativity, the emotional stuff. So when I have people come into the office and they're getting an acupuncture session, I always say to myself, this might be the only 25 minutes that they actually have for themselves to work on themselves. And then I try to do things I can always tell when they're thinking about the shopping list or the laundry list or what they have to do next, or they're running back to work. I try to give them something to think about outside of that, even if it's our music or something, or the warmth of the bed or something, you know, create that healing environment. So you get 25 minutes for yourself that you may not get as you run around the rest of it. You know, I mean, I can't tell you how many parents come in and they say, well, I'm up till 11, 12 o'clock at night, even though I'm tired at 8 or 9, because I have to put my kids to bed and deal with all their stuff. And that might be the last 2 hours of the day that I can get my stuff done. That's going to work for a while. But at the same time, if they had that chance to not have the other things that they had to do, they'd probably be feeling better if they could get that rest and boost their immune system as well. So,
you know, knowing how the mind, and we're not talking about the brain, and this is something that I want to make sure that our audience really appreciates. It's the mind how we make decisions. We know that in today's world, if we look into the world of epigenetics, we say that your cellular structure, your DNA, is an expression of your environment. That's what epigenetic patterns are. It's the food that you eat, the environment that you're exposed to, the mental thought process. If you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you're absolutely right. And that's who we become. And when we know that and we can measure it and we look at longevity with these little tails called telomeres that sit on top of our DNA that can be expanded, they can be lengthened, and our life patterns can be, you know, but we have 98.5% junk DNA. What that really means is dormant DNA. It's sitting there and it will only express itself. And some of it's really good and some of it is something that we don't want to, you know, open up. But based on environment impact, this is what we're seeing. And this is your world. This is, you know, when you're dealing with the body, you know, here's what I tell patients, and then I'm going to let you comment because it's important, is that, you know, you're a physiological being. Everything you can touch, that's broken down into organ systems and cells and molecules and then atoms. And then after that, it's wavelength. It's photon. And every structure in the world is like that. Your ability to look at life, meaning your medicine, is really dealing with that energetic platform, that photon, which immediately affects everything else and strengthens it up from epigenetics and from energetics, correct?
Yeah, it's no matter how you want to look at it, there's a physical change happening, whether it's acupuncture, herbs, diet, something, the body is assimilating something and it's able to create another function or physiological change. And so when you look at it, we don't think in terms all the times of energetics because it's not something that some people feel comfortable with, right?
That's
so
right.
What tends to happen is I start to go, okay, if your energy had to move your blood flow, if your nutrients had to get into your blood vessels and go to where you take the perfect supplement, the perfect herb, and you got to get it to its place where it needs to go. But first you got to take it and digest it. You need energy, ATP from a biological standpoint to get it there. So let's harness that. And so what's crazy is you think about some of the things that herbal medicine has been doing, and they've been combining ideas that how do we improve energy in our formulas? And how do we use herbs like adaptogens to kind of help us deal with stress? How do we put herbs like nervines and relaxants in the body to deal with the mental, emotional side? And so you see this kind of increase. And so it's like an immune system formula is not just immune herbs anymore. It's not just get rid of the cough and get rid of the phlegm and treat the symptoms and stuff. It has to deal with the rest of the body. So you can't take that out. So whether we want to label it as energetics or we want to label it as the mind-body connection, we got to find our place where we're comfortable with it. But it's definitely connected together. So, yep. And this is why I think you see more people getting interested in natural, you know, treatments and natural
how to fix
supplements,
it.
Everything, because they're missing that piece.
We're coming up to a break, Dr. Stephanie, but you know, I'm excited because of the way we approach things. I have so much admiration for your bandwidth and what you know and what you bring to the table. This Wednesday evening, our listeners are going to be able to appreciate that and get that firsthand. We're coming up to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what you can appreciate from this woman, from this amazing doctor who's been with me a long time. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle Live.
Dr. Tom Roselle Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Roselle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle Live, as you will be doing from this point forward every Sunday at high noon, 12 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard. Those of you who are in the other part of the country, we've tried to let you know that we've shifted just a little bit, but there's enough promotion going on that you should hear about it. We've reached out to our audience, our patient base, to let them know. But tell everybody that we're here because this is a program that will give you information that you're not going to get anywhere else. This is one that gives you the truth, the details about things, but more importantly, gives you the tools of how to handle things so you can live that not only symptom-free life, but a life that has the capacity to really unfold in ways that you could only hope for or dream of, but it's really all yours. It's in your hands. And that's our goal, is to give you as much data, as much information as we possibly can. And as always, we want to thank our men and women in service and in uniform, because without you, we would be in a really bad place and not be able to bring you this type of information and to be able to express thought processes that really will help you, your family, and so forth. And my guest today, Dr. Stephanie Pina, she'll be your host at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax this coming Wednesday night, the 26th, 7 p.m. I promise you, you're going to walk away with tools that will be able to help you handle all this craziness that's out there. Now we have, you know, even if they say all the mandates are gone in the middle of the spring and so forth, then there's a little bit of viral patterns out there. We have to reset the emotional platform. We have to get back to a thought process of normal. Let us give you that information this Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. All you have to do is call 703-698-7117, register, or go online at RoselleCare.com, and we'll see you there. I promise you, it's a for those of you who've never been to our practice, this is a big old reception area that has separation and filters, and you're perfectly safe. I promise you, you're going to be fine. And, you know, we'll look forward to seeing you there. Dr. Stephanie, this is a program really that if we wanted to break it up into different pieces of the puzzle, meaning organ systems and different immunological responses, we'd be here for 4 or 5 days. But what I'd like to do and put it on your shoulders now, what are you going to be doing Wednesday evening? What kind of expectation can our listeners have if they join you? And I encourage them to join you because they're going to be totally amazed. Kind of lay that out for us a little bit.
Well, one of the things we want to do is stop looking at the immune system as just these little, you know, subcategories and variants. And we want to start looking at it from a different perspective, that it has to do with everything we do every single day. And so in order to really deal with immune issues, we have to optimize our overall health. So first we're going to address that. Then we're going to optimize it by figuring out what can we do at the certain time. So looking at it from a preventive medicine standpoint, what happens when someone has acute issues going on and chronic issues and something keeps lingering? If we look at those differently, we can use different types of modalities and treatments more effectively instead of just throwing everything at it at the same time. There's a time where you got to treat one thing at a time instead of 100 things at a time. So kind of looking at it from there. And that's where I think Chinese medicine, especially acupuncture and herbal medicine, really shines through, because you can alter it and it's not based off of you're going to be on something for millions of months. You're going to be on it for a short period of time and then it changes and we change with it. So that's really kind of where I'm going to gear some of the treatment talks, because essentially you have to be able to treat the person where they are at that day, that stage of their illness.
That's right.
So understanding this is not something that we get taught in conventional medicine. It's just, you're going to take this and you're going to take it until you're better and then that's it. But what if you're not better? So we're going to look at it from more of a holistic standpoint, and just even understanding those basic ideas gives us stuff to do, because there's sometimes people out there that they have to get stuff done because of a mandate or because their schools are requiring it. What do they do in the meantime? They can optimize their health. They can do certain things that basically put them in the best possible place that they possibly can be at. And that's what we have to put forward instead of saying, here's the new drug or new supplement of the day, because that in itself may only help a certain amount of people. And it may also depend a lot on dosing and where they get it. And so there's a lot of different things that you have to work with the practitioner on a daily basis.
You know, I was talking to a friend the other day, a very dear friend of mine. He's a physician, a medical physician. He does functional medicine protocols and so forth. So he has a tremendous affinity for the world that you and I are in. And we got to talking, and we're talking about things like thyroid function. And I got into the HPA axis, which is hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenal, and how it affects thyroid. And if those things aren't working, I was going through the chemistry, sitting there thinking that he fully understood, you know, what I was talking about. And he did about 75% of it. And then he said, do you know that my colleagues, and this is a guy who's in his 50s, have no clue what you just said? And my brain went, did they take the biochemistry courses? He said, yes, but they don't, they're never told how to apply it. And they go in and they said, if you have these symptom process, take this medication. So I say that simply, this is somebody who I respect and who respects our work. And we go in and exchange constantly, very bright man, very, very excellent doctor. And, you know, so when a patient comes in, for example, somebody who's on metformin to try to bring down their blood sugar levels, and you ask the question, you know, did your doctor put you on B12? And they look at you and say, why would they put me on B12? Because metformin is a drug that dramatically lowers the levels of vitamin B12 in your body and all the other subtle components. But here you are looking at the body at an energetic platform and a basis of, you know, we have to make sure that things are stable. And, oh, by the way, you can't take the same thing forever. You have to tweak and change and move. And even when it comes to homeopathics and it comes to herbal preparations and adaptogenics, as you talked about in the first part of the program, they're there for a purpose. And you want to make sure that we use it from a purpose of no harm, which we all took that oath, you know, primum non nocere, first do no harm. But there's a place where you have to reevaluate. It's not meant to be there forever, correct?
And also with your B12 metformin example, what does B12 do that now is missing in the body because they've been on metformin without it for so long? What do we have to pick up as symptoms that are kind of the secondary effects as well too? And that's where having that mixture between understanding how conventional medicine and holistic medicine works, but thinking outside of the box in order to come up with the best treatment plan, put the B12 back in. What did it do when it wasn't there? So yeah, we got to look at that from the immune system standpoint and for overall health as well.
You know, this has been a fun, fascinating program to do with you simply because of your knowledge base and everything that you've had and you bring to the table. But this Wednesday evening, Dr. Stephanie will be your host, your presenter. Please join us. I promise you, you're going to walk away with so much data. Give us a call, 703-698-7117, or go to rozellecare.com and register online. We'll be back next week with more information and things that you can't do without. And I mean that seriously. And remember that we do this program for one reason and for one reason only. We love you. See you next week. Bye.